Coming to you live from a big bowl of soup, I'm Tom Rich, and with me as always is Potatoes! And this is the Mildly Alarming Podcast. Episode 61, Clam Parts.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Charlie Verpapalis, and I'm just pleased as peaches to have you here.
And I'm Tom. Rich, the host of the Mildly Alarming Podcast.
Well, one of the hosts.
One of the hosts, yeah. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
It's good to see you, buddy. Please help me. The jokes have gotten sentient to taking over the studio.
Terrifying.
Horrifying.
And I'm Johannes Stauffer.
Is Charlie gone?
He's gone.
Oh, good.
Or maybe he's back.
No! We got a great show planned for you today. Regardless of who's in the other chair.
Full of the one voice either of us knows how to do.
Which is basically...
probably not very well.
It's Minnesota. It's really... We can do Minnesota. That's about it. Remember the time we tried to do British accents?
Which one? There was one time where I tried to do a Sean Connery accent quite some time.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was... Yeah.
It's difficult.
It could have been better.
It was not the best. But it's fine. You're here. We're here. We're making a podcast thing. It's going to be good. Everybody's going to have a good time. So before we get into the topic, I wanted to share something with you.
I'm terrified already.
So as you may know, but our readers don't, I had to go to Canada this past week. So I went to
Canada. They're listeners. Okay.
Sure. So I went to Canada. I had to cross the bridge over to Canada, all of that good stuff.
You know there's only one bridge to Canada?
Yeah, it's just the one.
So that's the only way to get there or back.
Well, there's no way else. Canada... for those who don't know, is a landlocked Asian nation. But anyway, I went to Canada, did my business there, and we stopped.
Wow, that's all you went there for?
Yeah, right? And we stopped at a diner for a late breakfast.
To refuel after doing your business.
Right, right. And do you know what they have in Canada that we don't here?
All dressed chips?
No. Yeah, they have that. Actually, we have those here now.
Poutine?
You can just buy them at Kroger. No, check it. Poutine. We didn't try that. They have this amazing...
horse. As like a meat that you can eat?
That too. They have this amazing egg dish they make, though.
Uh-huh.
It's fantastic.
Is it just scrambled
eggs? I've never seen anything. No, well, kind of. They do scramble up the eggs.
Uh-huh.
It's not like a fried egg.
But they're dog eggs.
But No, they're regular chicken eggs. But they put like potatoes and cheese and sometimes like little bits of pepper in there and all kinds of stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of fold it over as they cook it.
I swear to God, if you say omelet, I'm going to stab you in the kidneys.
That might be what it's called. I don't speak French.
Oh, just let me get my kidney stabbing knife.
You have a special knife just for kidney stabbing?
Yep, and actually they're just for your kidneys.
Wow.
So, just turn around.
Do you have a different knife for each organ, or?
For each of yours, yes. I actually have one of those, did you ever watch Dexter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has that roll that he keeps his knives and stuff
in. Yeah.
It's like that, except on the inside, there's an anatomical body chart printed, and each organ has a little knife pocket in it.
Wow.
And then I kind of drew a scary face on it, which looks like your face.
You would have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, what would happen?
How would I know which person it was for?
Do you have these rolls for each
person?
Listen,
we can talk
know?
About this on a different episode. But I think we set out with a topic in mind other than my knife collection and other knife-related hobbies.
Canadian egg dishes. We're talking about that,
and
too.
And Canadian egg dishes.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, if you ever go to Canada, you should get one. One of these omeletas.
It's Swahili.
For bear.
Are there bears in Africa?
I think so, because you've that one movie where the young
Yogi Bear.
What's that?
Yogi Bear.
Yeah, it's set in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
No, the other one. There's the young man, and he's friends with a bear, but he's also sometimes friends with a tiger, and there's a panther too, and there's a snake.
Oh, right. The Jungle Book.
Yeah, that's set in...
New York.
India, actually. I don't know anything about what I'm talking about. There might not be bears in Africa.
Well, when I searched, are there bears in Africa, something, a Wikipedia article for the Atlas bear. Oh, the Atlas bear is Africa's only native bear.
Oh, there we go.
Was Africa's only native bear that survived into modern times, once inhabiting the Atlas Mountains and neighboring areas from Morocco to Libya. Hmm. The animal is now thought to be extinct.
Oh.
So, I guess now, no, there are no alive bears naturally in Africa.
So what you're saying is that we need to export bears to Africa.
I think that, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That seems like the thing to do here.
Make checks payable to mildly alarming bears to Africa program.
It's a number two.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Africa with a K, that wasn't on purpose. Tom just can't spell real good.
It's for legal reasons.
We didn't want it to be confused with the other mildly alarming bears to Africa campaign.
Yeah, that would be a big problem.
That's true. How would the banks know which account to deposit right. it into?
It's got to be clear in these situations.
The one with a K.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Obviously.
Plus, we win in the end because it's much easier if you find a check laying around, say, and I'm not saying you would or should or we have many times, but you can change a C to a K much more easily than you can change a K to a C. You just have Very to add true. A line.
That's why those Knights of Columbus are the way they are. They just picked up signs for C&C Music Factory, and they make it into a K, and they put it up on their sign.
But it's K of C. You could have gone with KFC, and they added an O.
Yeah.
But you failed again.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
So
I'm not too worried about it.
What are we actually talking about
here? I think
we're
talking about... Well, I was going to ask you what kind of bears we were sending to Africa with the other program, but I think we all know.
I was going to say polar bears.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's a good plan, too.
Are they from
Chicago? But see, polar bears, they...
are from a cold place.
Right. And so they might like a vacation.
Much of Africa...
Somewhere warm.
Much of Africa is very hot.
They go to the beach, you know, hang out, wear a bikini.
A bear
bikini? If you are not picturing a polar bear wearing a bikini right now, get out.
No, come back. We need you.
And just picture it and enjoy it. And
it's
laugh with
fun.
Us.
It's a good time. Laugh with me. Knife collections, egg dishes, bears to Africa. That's all we wanted to talk about today, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we got to draw this segment out somehow.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about acting in board gaming?
Acting.
Acting. So acting, for those of you that don't know, is an activity where people pretend to be
okay,
something they...
Hang on a second. Two things. One, when you say for those that don't know or for those not in the know, do you intend it to be as obnoxiously patronizing as it sounds?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know what patronizing means, so no?
Are you intending to talk down to the listeners?
No.
Okay. Listeners, please respond in the comments or on Twitter or somewhere. When Tom says, for those not in the know, do you want to reach through your headphones and slap him? Because I kind of
do. No, that's not a fair question. That's not a fair question. I'll tell you why it's not a fair question.
Because it's a leading question, and I told them that they wanted to do. Better question. When Tom says, for those not in the know, in what way do you want to harm him?
Well, but see, the thing is, it's not a fair question, too, because between one-third and four-thirds of our listeners are your older brother, Rick, who wants to reach through the phone and slap me at all times and in all situations. So, I mean, we're not going to get any useful data out of it.
Yeah, but it'll be fun to read.
Listen to.
I hate you so much.
So, we're thinking acting games, role-play type games, charadesy games, games where your ability as a person to take on a role or act something out or just sort of use your body and face to make your fellow players feel or understand something is a major component of the game. So this might be like monikers, where you're tasked with using puppet hand gestures and stuff to make people understand what your card is. It might be D&D, where you're supposed to act like you're an elf. D&D was
originally... I adore the description of D&D with no prior knowledge of what this game is as a game where you're supposed to act like an elf.
Yeah, it's great. Like, if you ever, like, my favorite descriptor for D&D ever is playing elf pretend.
Wearing pointy hats,
yeah,
curly toed shoes.
It's fantastic.
Making toys in the North Pole.
One time I was playing
living
on,
in a tree.
I was playing in a play-by-post game of D&D on a forum.
Nerd.
Yeah, I know, right? And I said to the guy running, I'm like, I would like to play internet elf pretend with you.
And they were like, no, get out. And you were banned from the forums forever.
No, I got a like on my post. So there. Meh.
First time anyone's ever liked you. It was weak. It was so weak.
My wife tolerates me.
She went to Europe for 3 months.
It's just because she likes horses better than me.
Well, that's true, too.
But she tolerates me.
Yeah, from far, far away. Right now, the greatest expanse that can separate the two of you, as commercial space travel is not really viable and there aren't a lot of places to go, is an ocean.
Yeah, but she's not as far away as she could be.
No.
Like there's a greater distance she could go.
That is true.
To be the max. She had to have to go to China, where they don't have a lot of horseback riding, maybe? I don't actually know anything about China.
Yeah. Plus, she doesn't speak, you know, the languages.
She doesn't speak the language in Germany either, or Austria. She's got a little German.
Oh, I thought she was, like, pretty conversationally apt in German.
Maybe?
You don't even know.
Well, I know she's always complaining that her German isn't as good as she wants it to be.
Well, everyone who speaks a language says that all the time.
Fair enough.
Plus, you think Sprechen Sie Deutsch means open the door. So.
It does. What? How is that controversial?
God, you're so dumb.
Yeah, Sprechen Sie Deutsch, open the door, it's fine.
See, so the question here, and the way this conversation ties into the topic at hand, is Tom acting like a complete moron, or is he actually a complete moron?
Well, I believe in last week's introduction for new readers, it was revealed that I am an idiot pretending to be a clever man.
Where I am an idiot pretending to be a different kind of idiot.
Exactly. So that question's been answered. It's canonical.
But now it's been asked.
And not like...
Not in the proper order.
Not like Book of Tobit canonical, where only some sects of readers will accept it. Everybody's on board. Boom. Obscure reference? Not really?
I don't know if that's canonical.
I hope I got correctly one of the books that's only in the Catholic Bible. That's what I was aiming for.
I guess they would call it canonical. And Protestants would call it apocryphal.
I like the word apocryphal.
And then they have their own apocrypha. I prefer the word apocrypha to apocryphal. I don't know why. I just like it.
They're both good words. Yeah. Apocrypha. Yeah. Apocrypha.
And then there's something called deuterocanonicals. That's a thing. Deutero. Well, now Rick is going to pound us both into
powder. He's really not going to be happy about this segment, is he?
No.
Well, so one of the things, the key things in acting is that as we have been convincingly stupid so far in this segment...
It's all but an act. We're actually very intelligent.
We both have PhDs in nanas.
We have to link to that comic in the show notes now.
Your ability to convince the other players of a thing is fairly key there, and if you can't do that, if you can't overcome that sort of natural reticence people have to potentially being thought foolish, it can be hard to play. I've seen people we play monikers with, for example, have a difficult time, you know, getting across a fairly straightforward card because they don't want to look goofy when they have to get up and act it out.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's not too hard to act out a swarm of bees.
Right.
Like, that's
well,
not
I don't know.
Too bad.
It is, but it isn't. There are definitely things... This is already so far off the topic. It's not that far. There are different ways of acting out a swarm of bees. And there are definitely things that jump to mind that you may or may not be embarrassed to do if your card said a swarm of bees. But it's not clear, depending on who you are acting for...
Sure, sure.
...what that will communicate. So, if I were to get a swarm of bees in a level of monikers where I'm using my whole body, but I'm not allowed to make any sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking frightened and running around and slapping at every part of my body would probably be the first thing that comes to mind. That
yeah,
seem
that's
fair?
About where I would go.
And at that point in the game, everyone should know that a swarm of bees is one of the cards in play.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, that could be being shot by poison darts or mosquitoes or...
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's clear and it's not.
Well, I think, too, you kind of edge toward another thing about designing for any kind of game that's going to involve acting or bluffing or these sorts of can you keep a straight face while doing a thing type mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, you've mentioned on the show before when we play D&D that there's a role-playing hump to get over at the start there of, yeah. Am I going to pretend to be an elf right now? Or is that guy at the end of the table just going to be a dick to me if I yeah. pretend to be an elf? If I really get into elf pretend. So more so than a lot of other games, a game of that involves any kind of acting or role playing or anything of that sort of thing on the player's part depends on everybody at the table getting involved.
Yeah.
And sort of saying, yep, this is what we're doing. It's a little bit silly, but we're going to have a great time with it.
Yeah.
And if any, even one player doesn't get on board and do the thing, it can really make the game not work in a way that you don't have if it's at a more mechanical game, in a game that just depends on the math working out, for
right.
example. Similarly, even if you take it to a low extent of like a bluffing game like Coup,
mm-hmm.
if even just a couple players don't really play Coup with bluffing and reading the other players and that kind of stuff in mind, it really sucks a lot of the life out of it. Or for a better example, The Resistance, which requires you to tell lies and act like you're one thing when you have a different role to your friends.
Right.
You know, if even a couple of players are just sort of blasé about it, it really doesn't work.
Well, so those are all good if different examples of acting in games, right? So I think the really core mechanic, if you were to say acting is a mechanic, like the core mechanic of the game, you're mm-hmm. pretty much talking charades, right?
Yeah.
There's certainly an acting element to RPGs, and then but it's not necessary. Like we've discussed before, you can make an RPG work just as well as a game, mechanically speaking, mm-hmm. without it. Whereas charades, if you're not going to act, you're just not going to... The game doesn't work.
It's completely integral, yeah.
And then when you talk about bluffing, there's definitely a component of acting to that. But there's actually a strategy in being, as you put it, just blasé about the whole thing.
That's true. That's
where
fair, yeah.
Where... You're just like, oh, he's not engaging. That makes him very hard to read. Because is it really just, I don't care, whatever. I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not engaging or is that appearing to not engage as a bluffing
right.
strategy in and of itself? And in that case, it is still acting. One of the things that's interesting about looking at the acting aspect of bluffing is that you kind of have to be a good actor
mm-hmm.
to make it work. And even if you appear to just be writing off the whole game, you're like, I don't care. But it turns out that was your bluff. Even convincing people that you don't care about the game and
sure.
you don't, and you're just writing it off was an act. Mm-hmm. Like that was impressive. It took some skill to not crack a smile while you were doing that.
Or to demonstrate the flip side of that, we were playing Cosmic Encounter the other day, and I was trying to bluff my wife
yeah.
during the game, and Johannes made the point that it's hard to tell in a game if I'm smirking at you because I genuinely believe what I'm saying, or because I'm trying to double bluff it like they think they can read me.
Tom's poker face is so bad, it's good.
It's horrid.
Like, he always has a barely contained, just, like, eating grin.
I'm having so much fun.
And giggling childish laughter. And you rarely know if it's because he has a really good hand and he's lying to you about it, or because he has a really bad hand and he's lying to you about it. Guaranteed he's lying to you about it, but you don't know which way he's
right.
lying to you about it. So no. it's interesting.
Yeah. And I've learned to use it to my advantage over the years. So to back up, though, to the acting mechanic, if we narrow it down to just like the charadesy type games, I mean, is there much there to even really talk about beyond those games?
I was going to ask you exactly the same question. I don't know. I think so. I was impressed with Monikers because it took a concept, charades, that I find unpleasant
mm-hmm.
and made it palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it on the show before, but it basically has levels, and you have an idea of the pool of cards, words, you know, things you need to act out that are in the game. They get introduced to the whole group through a simpler level before you move on to a more acting intense level. Like, you can speak at some point. You have to describe them in one word before you're just mutely acting things out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as, like, throw you in off the deep end, mm-hmm. As Charades is.
Right, because it builds that self-contained set of cards for each game that even if you can't act it out, you can maybe reference it in a way. And,
yeah, so by the time you get to, like, act this out using only your face or, like, your hands and nothing else, mm-hmm. at least everyone knows that Dick Army is one of the cards in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you can figure something out.
Right.
But I've not seen it done all that often otherwise.
No, like, there's not a lot.
When you look at, I think Cranium has a charades aspect, and it's just straight up charades. Mm-hmm. And then charades is charades. And I don't know that it is done anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much it can be used, other than what we've talked about with RPGs and bluffing games. I haven't seen it done.
I don't know. There's merit else to go with it. I just had a minor stroke on the air real quick there. Sorry about that, guys. Let me just put that all back where it should be.
Left side of his face is all droopy like melted chocolate.
There we go.
White chocolate.
Yes. In case it wasn't clear from the content of the podcast, we are tremendously white.
Powerfully white.
Yes.
It's, you know, go where you want with the word choice there.
Yep.
Good Lord.
Do you really want to say powerfully white like that kind?
I just made that joke.
Oh, is that? You know, I can't hear it when you talk.
I know. Yeah, but I don't see anything to do with that mechanic. That's not just ham-fistedly sticking charades in as a mini game in your other game.
Right.
I'm sure it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not that intriguing to me either. Like, it doesn't jump out at me as a thing that I want to explore.
I really don't like it. I think whoever it is that made Monikers, like, way to go.
Mm-hmm.
That is a game that I have actually enjoyed playing and gone back to and played more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the last person you would get to play a game of charades. So,
good work, Monikers people.
Yeah, way to go, you guys.
Mad Nux.
Well, do you have anything else?
No, that's about all I got to say.
If you know of games that have used acting mechanics differently than we've discussed, or if you have brilliant ideas on ways to use them
that we can steal
and then use for money that we won't share with you, we would love to hear them. Or if you just want to send us money, you can tell us that you want to do that, and we'll work out the details with you. You can hit us up on Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
You can send us an email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
You could send us two emails at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on the website. I just wanted to see if I could throw Tom off. He looked horrified. The website is www.mildlyalarming.com. Also on facebook.com/mildlyalarmingshow.
Or if you look in your mirror and paint a necromantic rune on it in the fake blood of a stuntman, and then just sort of prance around acting out your question, we won't see it, but you're going to look real goofy.
Do you think that stuntmen don't have real blood?
No, I'm talking about, like, the fake blood they have.
Like, they're real people.
Yeah, I know they're real people, but, like, they get fake blood all over them in doing their scenes. They don't.
Okay, but the rune has to have be made from a blood, like a fake blood packet that was at some point owned by a stuntman.
Yeah, at some point.
You couldn't just go to, like, a store.
No, that doesn't count. It's
Halloween USA blood doesn't count.
Yeah, it's not going to work until it's on a stuntman and he does his stunt and he's, like, soaked. And then you're like, hey, excuse me, sir, can I scrape that off your shirt? I need it for a rune.
Okay.
On my mirror. I got to send a question to a podcast.
I just want to make sure that our readers understand and don't get frustrated with us. And then I guess they couldn't leave nasty comments because, you know, it didn't work. Never mind. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Do you ever wonder about the changes that have happened in our country?
Once, the plains were crisscrossed by vast herds of bison, buffalo, and giant prairie gerbils. The mountains used to be full of timber wolves and grizzly bears, and guys with huge beards who were very tough, but deep down, deathly afraid of lady parts. The cities were once roamed by packs of feral dogs that could, by coordinating their barking, speak with the words of a man. All gone now. Hi. I'm Kelvonimus Meadowsong. It's Korean. Here to tell you about another treasure of the American natural world that may soon be gone forever. That is, unless you help me, help it. Them. They? I'm talking, of course, about the great American bro. Take Todd here.
Cha!
Once, young men like Todd roamed our country's frat houses and dive bars in packs. Their immaculate white hats on backward, and their collars popped to the sky. They bombed Jaegers and terrified everything smaller than them through a combination of grunting, physical aggression, and a thick musk of Axe body spray. But no more. No more. Todd can barely muster up a hup-hup, let alone get turnt with the crunk and hang fly with the looseness.
Bruh.
Without your help, our great nation will lose this most unique of creatures. But you can help by making a tax non-deductible donation to the Kelvonimus Bro Preserve. For just $1 per day, you can make sure that Todd sleeps in a house that is itself a nature preserve for stale beer and Dorito crumbs, instead of on an ex-girlfriend's futon because she has a soft heart, and Todd is an idiot savant at manipulating people into letting him use and damage virtually anything he wants to.
Hoo, T-bone in the house.
Our preserve is a ring of frat houses with back decks all pointed at a bonfire pit. And there's a lake just a convenient stumble away. Your donation will get Todd part of a small room and space in a beer fridge for as much natty ice as he can drink. And we've placed the preserve nearly 400 miles from the nearest other human being, so Todd and his homosocial life mates will never have to worry about the cops harshing their buzz.
Yo, C-Train, this preserve is pretty sick. No homo, though.
Thank you, Todd. Please, donate to the Kelvonimus Bro Preserve today, and make sure that Todd goes there and not to, say, an empty house right next to yours. Thank you. And now, Mildly Alarming Poetry Corner.
Once upon a Sunday query, while I labored, well, in theory, over many a quaint and curious volume of our podcast lore. As I drooled, clearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Must be Snoop Dogg, did I mutter, rapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I recall it, for I had just lost my wallet, after landing fall down drunk upon a barroom sticking floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow, $20 to ease my sorrow at my podcast chore, at that pain and buttock task list that I call my podcast chore, to which I'm chained evermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with a deep confusion never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, I do not remember seating purple curtains here before. Have no memory of buying purple curtains long before Snoop Dogg turned up at my door.
Waiting outside ever longer, as my rage grew in me stronger, Doofus, called I, get your lazy carcass off the floor. Clearly I have caught you napping, or, if I'm unlucky, crapping. But most likely you were napping on your chamber floor. I can see you through the window, lying there upon the floor, a moron there, and nothing more. Through the window I stood peering, as if my eyeballs could be searing work ethic into my co-host who rose shaking from the floor. But his silence was unbroken, and his stillness gave no token, and the only words he'd spoken had been muffled by the door. Something about Snoop Dogg, likely, muffled by his chamber door. Likely that, and nothing more. Away from the threshold turning, all my wrath within me burning, soon I heard him tapping, louder than I tapped before. Surely, said I, surely he is on his feet now, thinking, gee whiz, he'll most likely break my kneeses if I don't complete my chore. Break him with a hammer if I don't complete my podcast chore. Now open up your stupid door.
Open wide I flung the shutter, and with many a flirt and flutter, out through the window stepped I like a burglar of yore. Not the least obeisance made I, not a minute stopped or stayed I, but dashing across the sidewalk made I directly toward the door. Sprinting like a sumbitch aimed directly at his truck's front door. YOLO, called I, swag galore!
No, he didn't. He is lying, clearly, for some reason trying to convince you, and by rhyming upon your good sense implore, that you might believe this fable to our podcast fix the label of exciting, thrilling, able. From the list, pick one or more. Look down a list of good descriptors, and from it, pick one or more. That's what he's after, the dumb whore.
Much I marvel this ungainly fellow to discourse so plainly, though his mockery fails to cut the issue to its core. For though, yes, my goal's amusement, and is fueled by aboozement, parody's the thing, I'm choosing it as I labor at this chore. The fun of parodying poems sets me working at this chore. Only this, and nothing more.
I must ask, you goofy midget, think you that I am an idiot who didn't know you had that motive, it and likely several more? For instance, note that I have uttered, with my nipples lightly buttered, several stanzas deeply cluttered with phrasing that's a dreary chore. Phrasing hard to say aloud, you gave me this insipid chore. Deliberate, say I, that and more.
Startled, my reverie broken, by reply so aptly spoken, duder, say I, we should punch this up a good deal more. For though I like a good parody, thickly, creamly, and most carroty, we got to take a special carroty, your assistance I implore. With the next turn of this poem, your assistance I implore. Come inside and shut the door.
Though it could get somewhat hairy, we could still poke fun at Gary and the predilections he indulges on the shore. See now, here's what I am thinking. He's aboard a ship that's sinking, and here's the sound of seashells clinking on the cabin floor. The sound of seashells clink, clink, clinking on that tilted cabin floor. Listeners, this would never bore.
Funny, yes, but I am guessing, if this idea you're expressing goes where Gary jokes have oh so often gone before, if our imagination's fertile must again return to turtle, then the shark our podcast hurdles, and the readers it will bore. We'll leap a shark if we talk turtle, and the readers it will bore, and they'll read us nevermore.
Fair enough, you measly know-em, but how will we end this poem, and these stanzas stow-em in a package we can store? If Gary jokes are off the table, Alphonse jokes must be a fable, and I'm unsure we will be able to come up with something more. And will the listeners listen if we give them nothing more? Answer, answer, I implore.
Co-host, says I, your point I mind. Co-host still, if rather unkind, it may be that of content we're unlikely to find more. Desolate and rather daunted, by this lack of humor haunted, by impending failure taunted, shall we then press on no more? Is there beef at Taco Bell? Tell me truly, I implore. Yo quiero any more?
Co-host, say I, loutish laggard. Co-host still, if super slaggard, you can't use a dirt cheap taco to evade your podcast chore. This bit now's the 16th stanza, a cheesy, beefy word bonanza. An excess, an extravaganza, just complete it, I implore. There can't be many stanzas left, tell me how many, I implore. Tell me now, how many more?
I believe that there are lurking, if my count has not been shirking, two more stanzas left to send up ere we start meal number four. Lest our readers think us lazy, lest their patience wavers hazy, lest they take to acting crazy, complete we must this awful chore. Let us have mercy on the readers and complete this awful chore, or they will read us nevermore.
Listeners, so here's how this podcast endeth, as to rhyme scheme words we bendeth, and through tortured language wendeth, so that meter up we shore. And as the lines draw to the finish, our hunger will soon diminish with food that tastes a little tinnish from the Taco Bell next door. We'll feast on deeply healthless foodstuffs from the Taco Bell next door and do this segment nevermore.
Think outside the bun.
And now, a message from Vic Chefterly, founder of Vic Chefterly's Outer Space Hair Cream.
I'm United States astronaut Vic Chefterly, and I'm here to tell you that your hair looks stupid!
That it? That the end? No more? Okay, guess we're done here.